Looking forward to have the Nez family. Brother Nez, you come, introduce your family, and we're going to give the rest of the most part of the service until about a quarter of for Brother Nez and his family. I think they're going to sing for us. He's going to share a video, tell about a ministry, and preach for us. So you get comfortable, enjoy the ministry, and let's get to know them a little better. God bless you, brother.
Amen. Pastor Cook, thank you very much. Well, good evening, Harvest Baptist. And what a joy it is to be here. And honestly, I came just for the ice cream and things. And so looking forward to having some fellowship and appreciate you allowing us to be here tonight. And it's been a while since we've been here. But I want to say this. I do appreciate your investment there on the Navajo Indian Reservation. For the many years you supported the works, lives have been changed, and churches have been started, souls saved, and it's amazing what God has been doing there on the Navajo Indian Reservation. I tell you, God is moving, and we are seeing a harvest of servants. We are seeing fruit, and all goes to your account of your investment. And I want to thank you for your love and your support, your prayer, and just your involvement through the years, and I do appreciate that. And so, and especially going on to your next chapter of the ministry under your pastor, and I believe good things are coming your way. And what a blessing. And because when we have a heart for missions, it gets God's attention. Amen. And when we have God's attention, that's God's favor, that's God's blessing in your life. And so get in on it, be a part of it. And I want to encourage you that way. And so I'm privileged to be able to be in church tonight. And mostly I get to do it with my family. And as growing up, I did not have, a good family structured home. My wife and I, we grew up very rough on the Indian reservation. But when I got saved, man, I got a good family. And as I go to preach in different churches, I see my family grows. And it's a privilege to be able to have a good family here, a church family. But more importantly, I get to serve with my family. I'm here with my wife, Miss Amber, and she's the one who preached the gospel to me and preached the devil out of me and got saved. And I like to say I got saved under a woman preacher and things. And so, and praise the Lord for her faithfulness and just her love to serve God and her love for children's ministry, her love for music. And it's a blaze. It's amazing to see her, just her heart in that, her. And we get to serve with our oldest, Mariah. Go raise your hand there. And that's my wife's twin. And so when I'm with when we have a date night or I'm with Mariah, and people think that she's my wife and things, but she is a blessing. She has a heart for serving the Lord, and she's praying on how God would use her in these next few years, next chapter in her life. And she has a heart to serve and a heart for music, and I appreciate that very much. And so she's a big blessing to the ministry, and it's a good resource. And we have Janaya, our middle child, our daughter there, and she's the timid one. And but she's a blessing to us. She has a heart for nursery. She loves nursery. She loves little kids and things. And so we appreciate her. And then we have our little big voice, Navaya, and she's the one who is singing. And she's a blessing. She keeps us together. And she is the sense of humor, I guess, in the family. Probably gets it from me, I think. So, but anyhow, we are the Nez family, and thank you for allowing us to come and be part of this tonight. And so, we want to introduce our video. But since we put this, it's been a while, a couple of years since we put anything together. But we want to give you just a small glimpse of what God's been doing. We started Old Pass Baptist Church 2016, been there 7 years, almost 8 years now. And again, God's moving. It's amazing what God's doing. And I also pastor another church an hour from our Old Paths in New Mexico, Newcomb. And we've been there 4 years. The church was struggling. And we took the work and we established it biblically. And now we've seen fruit from that. And now we've been praying for a long time that God would send a family, and specifically a Navajo family to help us and possibly take over the work. And I tell you, God is good. He answered prayers. And we do have a great family serving with us. And just a few weeks ago, he surrendered, said, "Pastor, I believe God wants me to pastor this church." And I said nothing to him about it. And I wanted God to do that. And so he's getting training now, and so in a couple of years, we'll be able to turn that work over, so we're thankful. So just a small glimpse of what God's been doing on the reservation, and this is all fruit to your account. This is when you give, you make a difference, and we certainly appreciate that. So go ahead if you play that video.
His hands were tied behind his back as he stood before the court. The Apostle Paul was facing death again. Someone said, "This man has preached that Jesus Christ is Lord." They say, "Let the scourging now begin." Felt his body tighten, the blood began to flow, and between the stripes, Paul just sang his song.
If only just a few believe, I will tell of Calvary, I will be a witness for the cross. If only just a few are saved, I will go in Jesus' name. I will share my story with the lost.
If heaven celebrates when just one lost soul prays through, then I'll give my all, if for only just a few. Remembered well the time when Timothy was saved. Just one out of all who heard the news. And for months across the little towns, preaching Jesus is the way. Some days he'd convince just one or two.
Were they worth his suffering as the soldiers left him lay?
Through the tears they could hear him say,
if only just a few believe, I will tell of Calvary, I will be a witness for the cross. If only just a few are saved, I will go in Jesus' name. I will share my story with the lost.
If heaven celebrates when just one lost soul prays through, then I'll give my all, if for only just a few.
I may not see great numbers come to know the Lord, but if I keep on working,
great is my reward.
If only just a few believe, I will tell of Calvary, I will be a witness for the cross. If only just a few are saved, I will go in Jesus' name. I will share my story with the lost.
If heaven celebrates when just one lost soul prays through,
then I'll give my all, if for only just a few. Then I'll give my all, if for only just a few. give my all for just a few. Just a few.
Amen. Wasn't that a blessing? Wasn't that a blessing? Praise the Lord. This time we're going to have my family come, and as they prepare to sing a song, I like to say this. I like to invite you and to the reservation, and we're four and a half hours from here, and I want to invite you to come out and see what God's doing. And it's one thing to see it on the video, but it's another thing to actually be there and see what's going on and see the people, interact with the people, and listen, it'll change you. And so I really do. I pray that maybe one day you get with your pastor and come out and see us, and that would be a blessing. So I hope you enjoy the song and it'd be a blessing to you.
Since I found you.
What a joy. For some reason, they won't allow me to sing with them. So, yeah, I will mess it up for sure. John 21 here tonight, John 21. And I appreciate it. Again, thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to preach. And thank you for the opportunity. I don't take that very lightly. And it is a privilege to open the Word of God and just proclaim. I pray it will be a blessing to you. Let's go ahead and stand if you're able. In John chapter 21, a familiar passage, and we'll start in verse 15. The Bible says, "When they had dined, Jesus said, and saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Verse 16, he saith unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verse 17, he saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. For Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful to come tonight. Lord, once again, Father, in under your house and through your word, I pray that you would speak to hearts, you challenge hearts and renew hearts. And I pray, Father, tonight that we be challenged and that we listen on purpose and we hear, we receive, and we apply what is preached and what is taught and what is talked about here tonight. And Father, I pray that you would use me as your vessel, as your voice. And Father, I pray that that you be glorified in everything that's said and done. And we are thankful to be here. Thank you for the privilege, for the opportunity. Lord, we thank you for this church and what it stands for and what it's going to do. And Father, we thank you for your people to be here, faithful. Lord, here on a Sunday night, thank you for your goodness that you bring to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Just want to give you some thought here tonight. I'm not quite sure where you are in your Christian life and spiritually, your stance or your position in Christ, your relationship with Christ, and you know, if you're like me, like anyone, you know, oftentimes we make mistakes, don't we? And oftentimes we fail and we don't do the things that we're responsible for. That's who we are, that's our nature. As Paul said, the things I don't do, the things I'm not supposed to do, you know, I do. The things that I should do, I don't do. He says, why? Because I'm soul under sin, because I'm carnal, because there dwelleth, he says, in me dwelleth no good thing. And he says, I'm a chief of sinners. And maybe he was native, I don't know. He was chief of sinners. And he said, I don't get it oftentimes. I don't get it sometimes. He says, that's just who I am, and that's who we are, ladies and gentlemen. There's times in our life where we aren't who we should be. And there are times when we disappoint the Lord. There's times when we fail, and there's times when we backslide, and there's times when we rebel, and there's times when we just are really just not in good terms with God. That's who we are in nature. And we can try, and we can do all we can, but put our best foot forward, but there's times when we flat out fail in life, and Peter came to this point in his life. In his point in his life, and there was a time in John 13, and for time's sake, we won't go there, and he says, Jesus, I'll lay my life down for you, and he promised the Lord, he said, man, I'm going to follow you to death, and I'm not going to deny you, and I'm going to follow you all the way through, and we see how that turned out when things got rough, when things got hard, when pressure came on and the world weighed down on him. And we know what happened there. Then we move forward to John chapter 18. And there he gets out of sorts with the Lord. And someone says, hey, aren't you one of his disciples? And he said, oh, that's not me. You've mistaken me. That's my twin brother. I don't know. That's not me. As you are, that's you. You're one of his disciples. And he got angry. Remember that? He got angry. He began to curse and he denied the Lord. And a lot of times he fell flat on his face, and one of those things where he open mouth, insert foot moments, and he messed up. And now we come to John 21, where he goes back to a fishing, and he brings nothing. They're disappointed. And what a great lesson for us. Without Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, we can't do nothing. Man, life is full of disappointments without God. Man, without the church, we feel there is a void. Without the Bible, without church, without gospel, good music, without good fellowship, man, we seem to be lost in play, out of place, out of sort. And Peter came to this point in his life where he wasn't happy, he was discouraged, and here comes Jesus. Aren't you glad for grace? Aren't you glad that Jesus cares about you? And regardless of what we do, regardless of our attitude, he always wants to restore us. He always wants to bring us back into fellowship. And that's the God we serve. Here he comes to Peter, and here Peter is kind of discouraged, and Jesus pulls him aside, and Jesus, he already had fish ready on the fire, and after he prepares a meal for them, and even after Peter had failed and had denied Jesus three times, and there was, I believe there was probably a number of ways that Jesus could approach Peter. I mean, he said, Peter, let me talk to you for a moment about fear, and let me encourage you about peer pressure, because you didn't handle it very well. And or maybe he could have said, Peter, I want to talk to you about boldness. I want to talk to you about pride, and I want to encourage you about that. And because you weren't so bold when that time came, and he said, man, I want to talk to you about having a dirty mouth and how that ought be so in a Christian's life, and it ought not be so in your heart. But you know, that's not what Jesus did. Jesus said three times, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me, Simon? Notice how he uses surname. And surname is really when before a person is saved, he has a different name. And now his name was changed after he became a follower of the Lord. He says, Simon, why did he call him Simon? Because he was acting like his old self. He was acting like the old Peter, the old person who was all about self and who cared nothing about God, and it was all about what he wanted to do. He says, Simon, and why are you calling me Simon? Because you're acting like your old self. You're acting like the world. You're acting carnal. And he tells him three times, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? And I believe as we look in the story tonight, Jesus, instead of dealt directly with Peter's love, he says, lovest thou me? This was God's way of Jesus's way of refocusing God's or Peter's love for God. Lovest thou me? And I want to encourage you tonight by a couple of things here as we challenge you in refocusing and redirecting your love for God, because oftentimes we fail in that area. We get busy with life, and we get busy. And our love for God, our love for church, our love, it kind of dwindles, and it goes away. And it's why people are not excited for church anymore. They're not excited for souls that are saved. They're not excited for missions. They're not excited to open the Bible. God, I need you today. And it seemed like God, the love for God's word has changed. But I want to challenge you by three truths here tonight quickly. Is this three truths about how loving God changes us. Number one, loving God changes who I am. It changes who I am. I remember before salvation, I was full of bitterness, I was full of anger, I was in darkness, my heart was hardened. But when God came, aren't you glad God came into your life? Listen, when he came, his love, it changed who I am. And I began to look at my people in a different way. I began to see the hurt. I began to see the confusion, the fear. I began to see the loneliness and the despair. And I said, man, I want to do something about it. God's love changed me. It changed who I am. Man, it took away the confusion. It took away the selfishness. It took away the me mentality. And it becomes about God. It becomes about the Lord. It becomes about the Bible. Listen, it changes who you are. Mark 12:30 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." Listen, it changes who you are. It changes who I am. God's love wants to move in you. Man, it wants to motivate you to make a difference. Listen, his love comes into your life and you begin to look at people as God looks at people. He begins to love and you begin to love people. You begin to love the things of God. You begin to love souls. You begin to love missions. You begin to love making a difference. Let it change you. Man, let it encourage you. Let it move you. So what it does, number two, God's love changes what I do. My love for God makes me want to keep his commandments. Why? Because of who he is. Man, there was a time when I despised church. There was a time when I hated church. There was a time when I just didn't want nothing to do with church. But when Jesus came, man, when my focus was redirected, man, it changed who I am. And then also it changed what I do. My love for God will make me want to keep his commandments. And I get to be in church. Man, I get to serve God. Listen, I get to make a difference. Man, I get to brag about the Lord. Man, I get to have his blessings. I get to have his favor. I get to have fellowship with him. And listen, I mean, you may not have grown up the way I've grown up, but listen, it's a big deal for me. Because when I was growing up, I didn't have that mama figure. I didn't have a dad figure. I didn't have that family structured home in my life. And most of the time, I was by myself. Most of the time, I was miserable. Most of the time, I was lonely. But listen, when Jesus came into my life, it changed me. And it changed what I did. Man, it came into my heart. And I began to love God. Man, I get to now, I never had a father, but now I do have a father now. Listen, who understands me, who accepts me. Listen, who cares for me, who comforts me, who holds me, who encourages me, who forgives me, who talks to me, who whispers to me. Listen, that's the God I get to serve, and that's the God you serve. Let it change you, what you do. Listen, it made me love him each more. Listen, it influences me to love him more. It influences me to serve him more. It influences me to give more. It influences me to be obedient to him, to love him. Listen, it motivates me to follow him. That's what his love does for you. That's what it did for me, and it's going to do that for you. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. Got to redirect your love to him. Amen. Man, refocus on him. Amen. Listen, we understand we all go through things in life. That's why it's called life, and there's valleys. Not every day is a sunny day. Man, we come into Phoenix, and man, this is pretty hot here. Man, it's... Turn down the heat. Where's the thermostat here? Man, this is hot. Listen, there's valleys in life. There's trials in life. There's opposition in life. There's storms in life. But listen, when you have God's love, man, he directs you. Man, he encourages you during those times. And you begin to respond in the right way. There is a big difference responding and reacting. Reacting, you want to get angry. You want to get mad. You want to quit. You want to complain. But responding, God, what are you doing here? How are you working in my heart, in my life? What can I learn from this? You begin to respond. I want to encourage you here tonight. Redirect your love for God. Redirect your focus on him. His love not only changes who I am, It changes who you are. Not only does it change what I do, but it changes why I do it. Why I do it. And I specifically remember getting saved, and I knew nothing about church. I knew nothing about God. I knew nothing. And my whole perspective was different in regards to church. And I didn't know a lot of the doctrines, and I was just ignorant to a lot of stuff. But I began to open the Bible. I began to study it and find for myself, and it's amazing what you can find in your Bible. And I realized real quick that I'm nothing and that God is bigger than me. And it changed why I do what I do. And now I get to see people's lives change, Pastor. Where at one time it was just about me. About what I wanted to do. It was my money. It was my family. It was my time. And that was my perspective on life. But when I got saved, there was change in my heart and in my life. It ought to be change in your heart and your life when you get saved. Folks, listen, don't be complacent in your life. But you ought to always be growing and challenging yourself. Moving forward, what can I do? Man, get going out of my faith and getting involved in your ministry, getting involved in your church and doing some great things. These are the greatest times to be serving God. Why? But man, Pastor Ned, you don't understand what's going on. I do understand. That just means God is coming very soon. And that just motivates me to do more for him. Because I realize I got a short but little time to do some great things for God. And I want to do all that I can. I want to start all the churches I can. I want to try to lead people as many to the Lord as I can. Man, I want to make a difference with little time that I got. Man, with much life I have left in me. I want to live for God and I want to do the best I can for God. Listen, that's my motivation. That's why I do what I do. Is it easy? Absolutely not. Is it frustrating? Absolutely. But can I tell you this? There's always rewards. When you refocus your love for God, when you redirect your love for God, when you renew your love for God, it changes you. You get revived. There's life in you because Jesus is in you. Man, that's what revive. Man, step up and start doing some great things for God. Great things for the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. There was a song that we sung a minute ago. What is that? The old song was that hymn? Before that one. Never grow old. You got to listen to that, all right? You're not growing old, all right? It says we're good. We got time. We may serve God while you can. Serve God while you can. Man, you listen, do all you can for God. I want to encourage you. Redirect your love. Man, get plugged back in. Man, get after it. Man, be encouraged. Man, just redirect your love for God. Because it changes who I am. It changes what I do. And that's why it changes why I do it. And so, in closing, I want to challenge you tonight. Redirect your love for God. Don't be complacent in your life. Man, if you come to church, enduring church, man, you got to get some things right in your life. You need reviving in your life. Man, if you're not in your Bible, man, you need reviving in your life. If you're not excited for souls that get saved, for missionaries and videos and reading prayer letters and see what all that's going, you have a part in that. Man, you have a part and you may not see the results now, but one day you're going to see those results. One day some little Navajo boy, Navajo girl come to you in heaven and say, "Hey, mister, you don't know me, but I know you. Thank you for giving the missions. Thank you for sacrificing so I can get saved. You may not see it now, but one day you will. But you got to redirect your love for God. Missions is the heart of God. It's why we're here. That's why God left the church. So that you can be part of it. You can make a difference in missions. Souls matter. When you allow God to redirect your love for Him, you begin to see people as God sees them. Us, we get to judge, we get to complain. But when you have God's love, man, you look right through their sinfulness and you love them. You get to see people as God sees them and you love them as God loves them. That's what we get to do. In Harvest, I want to encourage you as we close, redirect your love. Don't be complacent. And I believe there's some great things going on here. And I appreciate very much continuing the ministry here. Under a new leadership, follow him. Encourage him. Lift his hand up because he loves you. Otherwise, he wouldn't be here. God placed him here for you. It is a gift from God to you. Be obedient to him. Follow him. Trust him. Give him time. Encourage him. Because God's gift, that's God's gift to you. Redirect your love to God. Get back into the race. Get back into fellowship. And start doing some great things for God. And I believe this is the beginning of something great. Our Father, we thank you for the time you've given. And I pray it was a challenge to us as it was to me. A reminder for me because I often get so busy. Sometimes I lose track of you. And that's, I believe, that's all of us. We get busy with schedules and with children, jobs, and things going on in life. And sometimes we forget, man, our love for you dwindles. We don't do it on purpose. I mean, we just get busy. Time gets away from us and we forget to pray. We forget to give. We forget to be in church. And pretty soon we find ourselves so far from you. And we make mistakes like Peter. We make vows and we don't come through with them. And oftentimes we deny, even denying you. And I pray, Father, maybe there's some here tonight that's in their hearts. And I pray that they come and fall back into fellowship and make things right with you. And so that you be able to use them in a mighty way. And Father, thank you, Lord. And at times I get busy, you always redirect my life. In my heart, in my life, in my spirit, my vision, my love for you. And Father, thank you for being patient with me and thank you for your grace you bring upon me. And I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. But Father, many times I complain. Many times I've not do the things I'm supposed to. But you're always there forgiving me. You're always there encouraging me. Because I'm me. That's who we are. Maybe someone's struggling. I pray that their love for you would be refocused and redirected and renewed tonight. Father, we thank you again for this church. I pray that you use this in a mighty way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. Our pianos will begin playing.